Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
Sip the juice. I got enough to go around. And the thought takes place uptown. I grew up on a sidewalk while I learned street talk. And then taught the whole New York. I go to Queens for Queens to get the food from Brooklyn. Make money in Manhattan and never been took it. Go uptown to the Bronx and boogie down. Get strong on the island, recoup and lay around. Time to build my juice back up. Pop stack up. Suckers get smacked up. Don't doubt the clout. You know what I'm about. Knocking it off, knocking it out. Shaking them up, waking them up. Breaking them up, breaking them up. Standing on shaky ground. Let's see if I know the ledge.
What up, 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 do? Welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. I'm your host, Amal Hawkins. Appreciate you taking time out today to listen to the latest podcast episode. It's been a week, man. It's been a week since I dropped the episode. It was a bye week and I went by. I went bye-bye, you know? What's the singing group that had the song? Bye, bye, bye. Them guys. I went bye, bye. But we back. The preview, UVA versus UNC, the oldest rivalry in the South. Yeah, been a part of four of these games. It get real. Shout out to Coach Danny Wilmer because he would step up in front of the team and said, I want you to hit him right square in the mouth. Not the mouth, but the mouth with an F. Hit him in the mouth. So, it's the 128th all-time meeting between Virginia and North Carolina. The series that first played in 1892. It is tied with Georgia and Auburn for the second most played rivalry in FBS. Only Wisconsin and Minnesota have played more games against one another in FBS history. They have 131 games. So, here we are, man. If you didn't know, this is the second team that's been ranked in the top 10. Yeah. Virginia squares off against his second nationally ranked opponent. Oh, no. But what was Tennessee ranked when we played them? Was they ranked in the top 10? I know they ranked pretty high because UNC number 10. I slipped my mind. Let me see. I don't want to get sidetracked. Tennessee was 12. All right. 12, 10. It's close enough. Second top 15 team. Second top 12 team. You know, that's how, like, all the stat gurus now, they got that cutoff to make the stat give you that much more oomph. So this is the second top 12 team UVA has faced this season. The first one was Tennessee. The game started out good versus Tennessee. Then, you know, it got ugly. But it's at 6:30. It's on the CW network. Usually, you know, the CW play like All-American and Flash and Smallville and all those shows. But they got football now, man. If y'all didn't know, CW got football. So, I mean, my wife and kids and stuff used to be on the CW. Salute to the CW. Let's get this podcast on the CW. How about that? I'm just joking with y'all. Salute to the sponsors of Abra Insurance. Go to Abra Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. The great people at Able. No, I was not saying that the CW sponsors this podcast right now, but Abra Insurance does. Yes, sir. So make sure you holler at the great people at Abra Insurance. They definitely get you a policy that fits your budget and the rates will be right. Yeah, tell them the Ball Hawk sent you. So coming off this bye week that UVA had, this is two straight weeks. That was two straight weeks in which UVA did not lose a game. Round of applause for that. Yeah, baby. Two straight weeks and no L's. Believe that. But we go to Keenan Stadium in Chapel Hill, 6:30 p.m. You know, the last two night games at Chapel Hill between these two ball clubs been fireworks. 2019, when we needed a victory, when Perkins led us there, remember Bryce Hall was out. Our secondary was shaky. They had Sam Howell, Dynamite Brown at receiver. They had all these weapons, two pros at running back. And we went in there and put on the show. It was a shootout. And then 2 years ago, that game between Howell and then Brendan Armstrong and that offense and that first half and what it did. And then North Carolina cheated the second half and didn't throw the ball no more. They just ran it down our throats. So I will tell you this. We can't afford to make this game a dang on shootout. I mean, you might be forced to keep up. Well, you're going to have to get some. It's going to have to be like the 2019 game. Like 2019 had timely stops. And I feel like, you know, looking at their film and looking at how we played this year. Now, granted, now we 1-5. They unbeaten. They 6-0. And I mean, they've been punishing cats, not punishing cats in the sense of beating everybody down, but they've been making you. It's been a track meet with them. Like, you better score. They just scored. They got three straight games now with 40 points. And then four of the last five games, they got 40 points. They scored at least 31 in every game this season. I mean, you look at when they went to go play Syracuse, Coach Beck had that Syracuse offense rolling, scoring, putting up yards. They held them to just 7 yards, and they put up 40 on them. Then Miami, after they didn't take a knee and let the clock run out, they put up 40 on them. Put up 40 on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just beat Louisville. Appalachian State took UNC to double overtime. But, you know, UNC usually has a blunder within the first two games where it's, like, uncharacteristic of them. And then last year when we played UNC, they was actually number 10 at that in that game when they can't hit the Sky Stadium. And I think that's the game where we didn't even play like was that the first game where all our top receivers was out? Yeah. And we still have 418 yards of total offense. We led 14-10 at the half. Lost by 3, 31-28. And, yeah, North Carolina was number 10. They came in last year averaging 41.8 points a game. This year they come in averaging 37.3. They held They held Drake May to under 300 yards passing last year, but 200 yards went to Josh Downs. He kept the streak going because remember Dynamite Brown had 200 yards receiving the last time he was at Scott Stadium. Then Josh Downs come in and get 200 yards. But on paper, this looks like it's going to be a beatdown. I'm just being honest with y'all. On paper, I'm saying on paper. When you give it a tail of the tape, the statistical matchup is not good at all. Scoring, they average 37 points a game. We average 22. First downs, 153, 118 for UVA. Rushing, 1,227 yards, 597 yards. For average, they average 184 yards rushing. We average 99 yards rushing. Passing, they average 317 yards passing. We average 249 yards passing. Total offense, they average 500 yards a game. 500. We average 348. We almost give up 500 yards a game. Until last game. So, it, you know, on paper, it don't look good at all. Not at all. Let me see. How many yards are we in there? Let me see. Nah, I ain't gonna do that. I will go to the, matter of fact, let's do it. Let's go to ACC.com and just to see how many yards we give up a game. I'm ready to keep it real. Like I told you on paper, this looks like it's going to be, we're going to get smacked. It really do. On paper. I'm going to keep saying that over and over. On paper. It's the reason you play the games. But on paper, it ain't looking too good. Total defense. We are 12th. Giving up 378 yards a game. Syracuse give up 380. And then Georgia Tech gives up 434.3 yards a game. We don't have the most pedestrian offense this year either in the ACC. We're 12th. You had NC State and then Pitt after us as far as overall offense. Our passing offense is 6th in the ACC. Ahead of Clemson, ahead of Syracuse. Ooh, would you look at that? I did not know that. So our passing offense is actually better than Clemson and Syracuse. That's two teams I respect as far as being able to move the football. Wake Forest is okay. I knew Virginia Tech, our offense probably moved the ball more than them. NC State, I knew that. Boston College, I knew that. And then Duke is actually last in passing offense in the ACC. I mean, they ain't last in wins. But they first in pass defense. That's Duke. We're 5th in pass defense. That says a lot. Okay, you know, there we go. There we go, people. You know, UVA 5th in the ACC in passing defense, 202.8. North Carolina is 13th, giving up 245, and then Syracuse is last. Let's look at rush defense. Ugh, I think we might be last. Oh, no, we 13th, 177. Georgia Tech is last at 214. Rush offense, Duke is number one. North Carolina is number five. And, of course, you know, UVA is last. We don't even average 100. We're at 99.5. But rushing defense, North Carolina is 5th. UVA is 13th. All right, so that's just some numbers. So here's the thing, what I seen on film from North Carolina. They got athletes. Their offensive line and defensive line, very good in my opinion, especially their offensive line. They keep May upright, give them clean pockets. What they do schematically, they force, like, they're going to make you play man-to-man because they feel like they can win on the outside one-on-one with their receivers. If you run two safety high, they're going to run the football. They just run it. They'll run it down your throat. They'll count, see if they got the advantage or if it's even because they'll leave one guy unblocked and they'll just run right at you. Simple as that. Like, it ain't going to be that difficult to know what they're going to do to you. It's just, can you stop it? That's just North Carolina. Like, they got big guys up front. They move well. They're running back Omarion Hampton. Leads the ACC in total rushing yards, 658 yards. He averages 5.9 yards per carry, averages 109 yards a game, which is first in the ACC, has 8 touchdowns, which is second to the kid from Duke. But, 6 games, 658 yards. Hey, man, let me tell you something. Going back to my days of playing, if I had a choice, I'd rather you throw it around versus me than running right down my, like, you, like, 2 years ago when we were down there, it was very difficult to watch UNC just say, we're going to run it right at you and just ran it right at us. It was hard for me to watch Boston College second half when they just like, you know what, we're just going to run it right at you. It was hard for me to watch when JMU came out of halftime and just said, we're going to run it right at you. There's a lot more mistakes that could take place when you throw the football around. But when somebody just hands it off and give it to the back and just say, man on man, we tougher than you. Come get this work. That's an ego thing. And I truly feel like North Carolina could pick their poison with us. because we thin on the back end. Like Clary's out still. I mean, he's out for the year. Lex Long is out. Dre Walker is out. Malcolm Green should be coming back from the concussion, but I mean, he's on the depth chart. So we thin in the secondary as far as being able to be aggressive. And this is the wrong offense to try to, I mean, you want to pay, you if you can play bend but don't break, but they might just break you before you even bend. Like, real talk. Like, you better understand your keys versus this offense. Or it could get ugly fast. Quick, fast, in a hurry. I mean, Carolina is impressed. Man, I ain't going to lie, man. Watching them on film, they impressed me. They impressed me. They got a right guard that's 5'11", 290. Don't be fooled by his 290. He played bigger than 5'11", 290. Think about that. We was getting on our guards like, you know, Ty Furness being whatever his, what's Ty Furness weight? Ty Ray's 282, 6'3". This dude 5'11", 290. Out there giving that work to people. Let's look at their defensive front. Desmond Evans, their power end is 6'6", 275. Their nose, Kevin Hester Jr., 6'3", 315. Their three technique, Miles Murphy is 6'4", 310. Hold on. I'm forgetting the half, all of them. 6'4 and a half, 6'3 and a half, 6'6 and a quarter. Then their Jack Rucker is 6'1", 265. Cedric Gray, 33. I like Cedric Gray, their wheelbacker. I think he's active as far as like his ability to decipher what's going on, sideline to sideline, can make plays in the passing game as well. Their corners gonna get up in your face. They're gonna play press. They've been doing that since I played, since when Dre Bly was here, and then you had Hood and all those, you know, other DBs that came through here. They're gonna challenge you. They're gonna get up in your face, they're gonna challenge you. They're going to try to mess up your timing. They'll send four. They'll send five. They got enough to spy because they just feel like no matter who it is, Miami got a lot of speed at receiver. They play man versus them. It don't matter who they play. They're going to get in your face and confront you. They like bank robbers. They right there. Can you win off the line of scrimmage consistently? Now, when people are playing a lot of man-to-man, that's when you look at the slot. But I'm pretty sure they know Malik Washington is the number one receiver in the ACC. They got a safety there. What can you do schematically to move them around? Can you put them in the triangle trips? Can you put them in the tight twins? Can you get them a short motion? You could use the, hey, go look at McDaniels and the Dolphins. Start using that cheat motion that they do in the CFL, you know, when you get the little short 1.5, 2 yard motion either to the ball or away from the ball and a quarterback snap it so you're moving. Can you imagine, like, who's going to be, this could take place, but I know that since they've been using that cheat motion with Tariq Hill with the Dolphins, I know that the Rams have used it, and I know that even the 49ers use it with Debo. Use that with Malik. Use that with Sedarian. Use it with guys who you want to get them in space. Now, it's easy for me to say use it. I mean, like, this going to drop Friday. It ain't like Coach could listen to this and say, hey, come here. In the game, I want y'all to run this motion. It don't work like that. But it just go, like, it's just one of them things that it just goes to show you, like, you could be copycat. Got to be innovative. When you're playing man-to-man, got to be innovative. Get those DBs off the spot. If they're really on the island, give them that work. When somebody on that island, you got to give them that work. Speaking of giving that work, did y'all see UNC versus Miami last week? NCAA said, Tez Walker, you are good to play. And that man said, don't mind if I do. He wore number 9, which is a great number. That man had 3 touchdown catches. 3. 3. When I tell you that dude was balling, especially in the second half, he came out and just exploded in the second half. Tell you what, man, we leave. Hey, if he solo up on somebody, get home. Hey, man, you gonna have to blitz. You gonna have to blitz straight, man. I'm sorry. We can't sit back and just rush full and try to play invert because they're gonna attack. They attack the seams anyway. That's what they want to do. They want to attack the seams or they run dagger. In other words, like dagger, seam, all that's showing you is the location is the hashes. That's it. So if you hear me say dagger, you hear me say seam, the location and the target hit the hash. That's what we're attacking right there. Dagger route is 2 ends. So it could be 2 posts, 2 end routes, but we're trying to hit the hash in between the corner and the safety. So it's going to be a tall task to defeat the number 10 team at home. Nobody has scored in them in the first quarter at home this year. I mean, just last week when they ran for 235 yards versus Miami, that was the first opponent to top 100 yards versus Miami this season. They entered the game as the nation's top defense against the rush. You heard what I said. Miami came into the last game with the number one rush defense, and UNC said, okay, wait until you get a load of me, and ran for 235. Man, it's going to be a tough game, bro. Offense, you're going to have to keep up. Hey, yo, Coach Kitch, you had a whole bye week. Look, you had 2 weeks to prepare. That means you should have 2 script drives, quick, fast, in a hurry. I'm expecting 14 out the gate. Matter of fact, save one of them for coming out the second half because we be sleepwalking. We be the walking dead in the second half. So save one of those for the second half, open and drive. But as far as us coming off the bye week, you know, we want to make sure we got healthy. Looks like Ben Smiley will be starting. He's the number one in the depth chart, defensive end. The juggernaut is still at nose tackle. Aaron Famui is there. Chico is at bandit. You got James Jackson starting, and then you got Cam Robinson starting at Mike. That means, and there's no Josh Ahern on the depth chart. So That's something, because, you know, with me going to the bye week, if Josh Ahern would have been healthy, here's what the Ball Hawk wanted to do. See if you could see this, right? Like, if Ahern was healthy, because I like how Ahern could be a ram when you're going against the run, and then he could drop when it's passed. He's showing his versatility in that aspect. I feel like if you start Ahern at the mic, and then you slide Cam to the bandit, and then you take Chico from the bandit and put him at the DN. Ooh. Can you imagine putting Cam Robinson at the bandit and letting that young whippersnapper go attack the quarterback at times? Man. Wish he was healthy. We got Corn still starting at corner. Corn's been very solid for us this year at corner. My man Elijah Gaines, my mentee, is second behind Corn King at left corner. He got Sam Westfall at right corner. And Malcolm Green is on the depth chart. Now, this is where I'm nervous. Hey, yo, Sam, let me holler at you, King. I don't need you to live up to the last part of your last name. I don't need you to fall. I need you to stand tall. I need you to be West Tall this game, okay? Sam West Tall, because they going to hunt you. Yeah. If they watch the Women Marrying film, they going to come after you, bro. I'm just giving my analytical hat. If I've been watching film on UVA this year, they coming at 13. They feel like they could come at both of you guys. But if you had to pick your poison between 9 and 13, they coming at 13. I know 9 has given up. You know, he had some pass interference and things like that, and he got beat in the red zone. But you the my bad guy that I was talking about, the JMU. But you could write that. You could write that ship. We still got my man Tay starting at the Spurs. Tay has done, he is improved every week. Y'all can say what y'all want to say. Y'all used to talk about, what do you mean 23 needs to tackle? He needs to tackle. Y'all can't tell me y'all MSN 23 out there tackling now. Jonas Sanker.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One of the leading tacklers in the ACC starting that free safety, and then you got my man Harrod starting that strong safety. I like those two and what they've been doing at safety. Tavon, I need you to get me one, man. Go get me an Oski. Go give me a pick. I need one this week. Because you playing the slot, so you can be the mark they really going to come at. But don't get me wrong. When Mr. Tez walk on the outside, find 9. If 9 is on 13, check. I need a safety over the top. If 9 on 9, check. We need to put a safety over 9. We might not can't afford it a lot of times because Drake May can run too. So that's the thing about it. Like Drake May is very mobile. He ran a couple of times last year versus us. Man, the Tar Heels are 6-0 for the first time since 1997. Yeah, I played against them that year. That's when they had Brandon Spoon and them boys. They was tough. Coming off the bye week, man. The last time the Hoos came off a bye week with Tony Elliott as the coach, it was a road ACC game versus Georgia Tech. This ain't Georgia Tech, but I'm just giving y'all the information. I ain't saying it's going to be the same. I know Georgia Tech last year was trash can juice. I was like, yeah, we're going to get us one. All I know is this year, we done had double-digit leads in 4-6 games since the JMU game, which was the second game of the year. We've led at halftime every single game. Every single game we led at halftime. Every game except one we've led. As much as, come on, man. Let me get on the couch. Let me talk to my. Think about this year, man, because I think this is what frustrates folks. As much as people say UVA is going to be the worst Power 5 team in the country, as much as people say Coach Elliott is in over his head, as much as people talk bad about Dez Kitchen, as much as people go in on the offensive line, whether it's Nana, whether it's Ty Furnish, whomever, this team really, at worst, should be just 4-2. Tennessee, Maryland game, the two games like you lost that game. The Maryland game was like Cinderella slipper. It hit noon at the beginning of the fourth quarter. But JMU still unbeaten. Man, it's just one of them things where even because they coach said it. We had all the momentum. Then once they got that delay, that weather delay, it helped them out. It gave them another halftime to really go in, regroup, really break down what was going down. Because remember, the third quarter, we came out taxing them, smoking their boots. You lose that game. Maryland, we outkicked our coverage. You know what I'm saying? That's when you date the girl who was too beautiful for you, and she finally you finally kept pissing her off, and she's like, you know what? I'm out of here. That's what Maryland did in the fourth quarter. You know what? I'm out of here. Let me give you what the real work is. But the NC State game should have been a sure shot dub. Boston College game, sure shot dub. That should have been a sure shot dub. Those two for sure. Then you found, you know, you won William & Mary where everybody just... Here's the thing that I didn't understand about the William & Mary victory from a lot of you guys. Like, you won it one way. But going into the game, everybody was talking trash. You know, Mike London and FCS programs, one of the top FCS programs and all of this and what they could do. And y'all better not lose this game. I still got to lose in this game because ain't no way because they could do this, they could do that. And then UVA defeats them. But I guess it wasn't up to the liking, like the style points weren't there, right? It wasn't like you just beat the brakes off them. Like, you ain't won a game all year, and everybody's bragging about how that's one of the better FCS teams. And since you ain't beat the brakes off of William & Mary, who nobody, a lot of people thought that they probably would lose that game too, they win that game, and people move the goalposts. And then during the bye week, some recruits flip. So you got folks just saying, oh man, what the hell is going on? What's this? What's that? What's the come? Look, here's the reality for y'all. UVA is 1-5. If you go on social media and you follow our program, it ain't the most welcoming program right now as far as like the atmosphere. Because we 1-5. So can you imagine being recruited to come to UVA or committing to UVA and you see the fan base want to get rid of the coaches that's recruiting you, that you're trying to build a relationship with? Because a lot of people say, don't you go to the school for the school and not the coaches? Well, the coaches is what lures the kids to the university. So when folks are saying, and you got the right to do it, fire the coaches, and then you see a recruit flip. He's like, oh, they can't even keep the recruits. Like, bro, the recruit hearing, like, recruits paying attention. So if you're saying fire the coaches, why the heck would I come to a university when it's a possibility that coach is leaving? Because y'all don't want him here. It's no different when Bronco left. A lot of people left because Bronco won't hear again. Like, I really think folks, in the midst of being frustrated, in the midst of sharing their opinion, that they can't sit back sometime and really comprehend, like, oh, that makes sense. Versus, oh, see, it ain't no, oh, see, it's like that's the domino effect. And then if they do get somebody who commit to UVA, they look at the other schools that was also recruiting them with UVA. like the lineman we got that signed, everybody like, oh, we beat our Sacred Heart. What the hell is Sacred Heart? It's like, damn, bro. Let me take you back to memory lane. Y'all remember when Bryce Hall signed with us and how many stars he was and what teams were going after him? And all? Like, I know. I'm being petty. Bryce Hall ended up being in the top flight. He'd been All-American. But I remember when certain players were getting recruited by UVA. They came here and ended up being very good players. I got receipts. I really do. But it's like, that ain't going to give me no... Patty Hart really want me to put the screenshot up. Remember what you said about... But that don't do nothing to... Like, I don't want to do that to that individual. But it just shows you how sometimes we're so reactive that you got to stand by that. Like, that's the power of social media. Like, once you hit send, it's out there. So when folks always say, man, I got a right to my opinion, you do. You do have a right to your opinion. But once you hit send, people got the right to respond. People got the right to return the favor. Like, that's what social media has done. Like, when I was coming up in high school and through college, social media was around. So if somebody felt a certain way about you, they could talk about you to everybody and you wouldn't know unless it was word of mouth and it traveled. Like, you could really think, man, so-and-so suck. But that player would never know. You could say, hey, I want the coach fired. But that recruit would never know because social media wasn't around. So you had a lot of players still going to said universities, even though the fan base wanted them fired, because if that recruit wasn't tapped into the pulse of the university, they would never know what was going on. So fast forward to 2023 with social media. If you go on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, you got these groups and stuff, or you on these message boards, and they've shown you, no matter where you share your thoughts, somebody can just screenshot it and share it somewhere else. And you got to stand on it. You got to be like, yeah, I felt like that. Or, yeah, nah, I was just mad. Much as people would be like, yo, it's a safe space, they still get you. Because they want to, aha, I got them. That's just what it is. That's like, we live in that age, man, where people are like, aha, I got you. So as much as folks really feel like a player, coach, or whomever won't see something, sadly, you're sadly mistaken. Because it's not about them seeing it in real time that they're going into these different entities and looking at things. It's like a loved one or somebody that's a friend of them is a part of it, takes a picture of it, shares it with them. And a lot of times, like if you're on Facebook, all your information there, unless you got a burner account. So your face, your picture, your family, what you do, so they know who you are. So if you ever went up to a player or somebody and said, how you doing? And you felt like they was being snobby, you might have said something about them one time and they know about it and they remembered your face. They might be like, I don't rock with that. Now, granted, you know, it could be heated a moment and that you were just sharing your view, but can't we really fault folks who stand, like, make you stand on what you said about them? Because I think a lot of times we all forget that. We really do. Like, we'll say something about somebody on social media and we had a human reaction. I give you a prime example, like with Steve Smith. Steve Smith was talking about Jerry Jeudy on his podcast. And he said that Jerry Jeudy was a jag, just another guy, J-A-G, even though he was a top flight draft pick, first rounder. And Jerry Jeudy didn't like the comment. This season, Jerry Jeudy was playing better. Steve Smith, it was the Bronco, was it Bronco Chief game? Yeah. A Thursday night game. Steve Smith is going up to Jerry Jeudy about to apologize to him, man, you know, face to face. Jerry Jeudy, I mean, before the game, he has that switch on that I always talk about players have. And he said, get the F out my face, you B-A-N. If you don't know what B-A-N is, female dog, your hind part, and the powerful N-word. So, B, you know, female dog, your hind part, powerful N-word, B-A-N. Steve Smith, a very volatile and wear my heart on the sleeve type of individual, says, okay, I got something for you. Leaves. Doesn't say anything to him, just kind of getting the look. Steve Smith is still doing his job. They're on the sideline doing the pregame show. Jerry Jeudy is feeling some type of way because what Steve said about him on his platform is still continually to, I'm using air quotations, troll. I mean, he's trying to irritate Steve Smith while Steve is doing his job. And his his counterpart says, hey, Steve, can you share with the folks the exchange you had with Jerry Jeudy? And Steve Smith says, yeah, I went up to him. You know, I called him a jag on my podcast, blah, 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 blah. And I was going to send the olive branch to apologize to him because I felt like he was playing better this year. And I wanted to be a man about it and go right up to him and apologize. Before I could apologize, Jerry Jeudy dismisses me and said, get the F out of here. I don't mess with you. B-A-N. And Steve Smith was like, just for that, you know, he doubled down on what he initially said, like his pride was hurt. So he doubled down. But he still said he apologized for his comments, but he just didn't like how Jerry Jeudy was still keeping that same energy, even though Steve wanted to apologize. So that's what I'm saying about, like, with social media and, like, even on this platform that I have, like, if I criticize, and it's been times where I've criticized a player and I try to say, hey, man, I'm just saying, do it like this, do it like that. And somebody clip it and they don't clip my disclaimer or they don't clip the context in which I'm providing that criticism. They take out the constructive and they just share the criticism. And I've had players when I go in the locker room dapping everybody up, they're like, no, nah, I heard your last podcast. You said this and this and that. And I got to immediately go to my podcast, go to when I said it and say, hey, listen to a minute before and a minute after. And once they hear the my critique in its entirety, they'll be like, all right. But it's only because I have that personal relationship, they allow me that grace to mend the disagreement. Steve didn't have that with Jerry Judy. So that's all I got to say, man. But as far as this game, it's going to be important for UVA to get timely stops. Whether it's having Carolina settle for three, a couple of drives, get a timely turnover. I think the first goal is to have them settle for three, a couple of drives. To me, it's a tall task to get a stop. It's going to be like a 7-8 play stop. If we get a three and out, look, if our defense generates a three and out offense, you better score. That, like, for real, you have to score a touchdown if the defense generates a three and out. Anytime we generate a stop of any kind, you have to score. That's the mentality. You have to. You almost got to go in the mindset that you have to score every single time. I know it ain't fair, but it's fair. I'm in St. Louis right now. Like, that's the mindset they had in 2019. They had to score every possession because we just don't know if this offense is going to erupt on our defense. If you go back and look at how Bryce Perkins and Assis Dubois and those guys, like, operated on offense, it was a thing of beauty. Big play after big play, fake punt. We brought out all the stops. That 2019 game showed you, it was like, we coming to win. We just ain't trying to keep it close. We got timely stops in the red zone. Came out of half. Got that big run by Bryce Perkins. Man, that, because nobody thought we would win. Nobody thought UVA would win that game. And I happened to fill in for my big bro, Tony Covington, in the booth with Dave Kane. I was a color analyst that game. And I just remember just like, yo, this offense is really attacking Carolina with just this. We ain't got nothing to lose. Even though they had something to lose. Because that's the year we won the Coastal. Played Clemson in the ACC Championship. Beat Tech here. Went to the Orange Bowl. It's just that mindset of, yo, we're going to attack. Special teams going to play a huge role. This is when you got to get plays from your special teams. Special teams has to be special in a good way. Our special teams have needed accommodations. This has to be, again, you don't need accommodations. Well, you can't. Hold on. Can't say special teams special in a good way. I know, like, see, a part of me is a jokester, but in today's climate, you can't say that. So special teams just got to be special without accommodations. That's it. For all the folks who didn't get the joke or did get the joke, and some folks that I know how the climate is, like, it's some of the things you just can't joke about and things like that. I know what IEPs and 504s and stuff like that. That's why I told Petty Hawk, no, we can't use that joke. So, and I know how the world works. So, yeah, I ain't Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, he could get away with a joke like that. Ball Hawk, no. But yeah, it's going to be an arena football game, man. It really is. It's going to be an arena football game. If you looked at the depth chart on the offensive side of the ball, Jimmy Christ. Do they say, do they call him Christ or Christ? Christ. I'm going to call him Christ. Jimmy Christ is starting at right tackle. Nana starting at right guard. I thought last week those two guys did good on the right side together. Christ got a whole additional week to make sure he in what they say is game shape. We going to need it because The defensive front going hunt. Got JR starting at a receiver. Malik starting at a receiver. Malachi. Dakota backing up Malachi. You got Jaden backing up JR. And it looks like Jaden be actually playing more than JR. And I know it was high hopes for JR. And JR got a lot of ability. Matter of fact, JR did good. Yeah, JR did good last year versus UNC. Like, I would like to see Malik and Sidarian in at the same time. Like, can we put Malik in the backfield with the back to get that type of reaction? Like, you know, like, have you guys ever watched? Well, let me stop asking. I know you watch them. You watch the Eagles. The Eagles are put Slim Shady, Slim Batman in the backfield. Devontae, number six, they put him in the backfield at running back to get him matched up on a linebacker. Can you imagine? And a shout out to Paris Jones. Paris Jones is now listed first on the depth chart. If you can recall the last couple games, he was last on the depth. He was third on the depth chart. Hope Mike is healthy. But that just shows that he's the hot hand and they started him. But back to Malik. Moving Malik around. Malik is usually in the same spot. He's usually in the slot. Can we put him in the backfield like we used to do Billy Kemp? Can you have two backs in the backfield, Paris Jones and Kobe, like we did in the Maryland game? We got to utilize the tight ends, of course. Put like this, man. Yo, Kitch, you got to pull all stops versus number 10. Ain't no saving nothing. I need you to be like the head coach on the water board. You need to see puppy dogs and get your notepad out and draw up some great plays, Jack, because we're going to need every bit of it. Because if you don't, it can get super ugly for the Cavaliers on the road at Keenan. It can. Ain't no more sugarcoating it. Either you come out trying to take them out or you're going to get taken out. They putting up 40 like it's nothing. They're going to make you play man. They ain't going to let you play two safety high. They're going to try to run it down your throat. That means this is a game you got to win one-on-one matchups or it's going to get ugly. And they're going to try to, oh, they'll run the score up on you. Oh, my God. Tony, you know, Mac Brown, he remember all them Clemson games. He wants you, daggummit. He wants you. Yeah, it's going to be personal for him. Last year, you made him work. He don't like that. He coming to get you. Usually, you know, UVA, we usually give Mac that tatals. But that dang on Drake May is nice. Yo, man, how you be finding these quarterbacks, Mac? Everywhere you go, you find quarterbacks, man. You feel me? You even got my man Ron C to come there too, Mac. I don't like that, dog. You know I don't like you because of that. You got Vince Young at Texas, Colt McCoy, ill. Sam Howard, ill. Now Drake May, ill. You and your recruiting, forget you, Mac Brown. You and Michael Jordan, all your nice cleats and shoes and jump mans and with the freaking do. I'm Michael Jordan. Hey, you want to be sponsored by the jump man? Huh? Hey, Ralph, I'm Michael. You're just Ralph Sampson. I'm Michael Jordan. Huh. I'm cool. I got a Jumpman logo. No, I'm just playing. I dunk on you, Jordan. Dude! Have somebody walk around with one of them little rims with a Nerf ball. Let me see Michael Jordan. Get the camera. Boom, I'm dunking on him. Like Starks. You know what I'm saying? A dunk by because I'm running. Matter of fact, Jordan tall. I can't jump 6 feet six. I'm old and washed. I don't jump no more. I just run. I get Gilbert Arenas on Michael Jordan. Gilbert Arenas, they're like, Gilbert Arenas talk bad about everybody. But all right, man, it's almost 50 minutes. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Y'all be blessed out here. Be safe. Wahoos, welcome to the Arena Football League, because you're going to have to put up some points. You got to get four timely stops. Four. Four timely stops, and you got to keep scoring. You got to get four punts. So I need one punt a quarter in addition to holding them to a couple field goals in addition to one turnover. And you can't turn the ball over. In addition to, can't have no dumbass false starts. Excuse my language. You can't have no dumb false starts. Pre-snap penalties are a no-no. If we come out the bye week and have pre-snap penalties, and they're one of the best teams on third down, too, UNC is, offensively and defensively. So that means we can't get in third downs. This you playing Canadian football and arena football. You get two downs to get a first down because we can't get third downs versus the team. So you got two downs to get a first down. Yeah, that's where I'm going with it. That's the mindset. That's that Jedi mind trick. Luke, I am your father. You playing Canadian football and arena football versus them. Mindset. Got to get it done. Against the number 10 team in the country. It's your second top 12 team. The last top 12 team you played on the road, you had them. The first quarter was only 7-0. And you was driving down the field. You was right there, fourth down. You just in the end zone, let them throw to the running back. Yeah, but you could write that ship. So can you imagine? You get your get back. You know what I'm saying? Tony Musket, it's your get back. Come on. Come on. Come on, Cletus. Come on. I appreciate everybody being positive on Twitter saying, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I feel confident about UVA playing the top 10 team. I'm looking like, man, are y'all delusional? Don't get me wrong. I love my brothers, man. I really do. But I'm just sitting here like this offense we going up against. If you thought Tennessee offense was good, ooh-wee. If you thought Maryland could run the ball, ooh. If you thought Boston College could run the ball, ooh-wee. This is the best quarterback we're going to play against all year. Easily. Dude, Tez Walker. NCAA, I need y'all to reevaluate. Come on, man. Pull him off the field, bro. I'm calling in a favor, NCAA. I'm calling in a favor. Get Tez out of here. Let him make him sit a quarter. I need a quarter. All right? God, dog. That man scored. I ain't even scored three touchdowns in my career here at UVA. He did that in one game. I scored two-point conversions. Yeah, man. I ain't even had three touchdowns in my career here. He had that in a game. Get him out of here, man. He's wearing number 9. I had to wait 3 years before I could finally wear 9 here. Oh, man. I'm just having fun, man. But I'm definitely excited to see the Wahoos go down to Keenan Stadium, 6:30 on the CW Network. It's going to be a movie. Got to be a movie. It could either be a massacre or a classic. Because they're going to show up and they're going to show out. They're going to try to put on this oldest rivalry in the South. This is a juggernaut offense. 500 yards a game? 500? I'm done, man. All this rambling. Hey, man, make sure you subscribe to the Ball Hawk Show podcast on Believe Network. Make sure you provide feedback on Spotify and iTunes. I definitely appreciate everybody that's been commenting on Spotify. I like to highlight your Spotify. Also, you can follow me on Facebook, at Amaya Hawkins. On the X app at I Am Ball Hawk, Instagram at I Am Ball Hawk, and what's that thing called? TikTok at I Am Ball Hawk. And go and subscribe to my YouTube channel, man. I'm gonna get back active on that, man. The Ball Hawk Show podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to that, and that's it, man. Salute to my sponsor, Abra Insurance. If you want some Shut the Hell Up Juice gear, I got Ball Hawk Show hoodies, and I got a new fear hoodie, Face Everything and Rise, that'll be available soon. So it's sthujuice.store. That's sthujuice.store. If you want to reach me, just go to amarhawkins.com. Use the contact box at the bottom. Write in what you want to write in. Is email to me, directly. That, again, go to AmarHawkins.com, go to the contact box at the bottom, and email me directly. All right, man, if you're a UNC fan, man, I appreciate you for tuning in. Good luck to you guys. It's Saturday. It's Wahoo Wah, oldest rivalry in the South, and in the words of Coach Danny Wilmer, hit him right square in the mouth.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.